And the story continues. Our community-wide project of journeying together through the story, the great drama of our salvation and God's unfailing commitment to us continues. The story continues, and we're in the third chapter. And God is working as hard as ever with the Abrahamson family, a family we're getting to know quite well. As we've seen, they're quite a crowd. What strikes us right away is how unlikely they are. Milton made that so beautifully clear last week. God responds to our disobedience in the garden by choosing a people to make a new nation for himself, to lead everyone else back to him. Sounds good, but who does he choose? Abraham and Sarah. And they're too old. They got no track record. They don't have a good resume for this job. They're too old to start a family dynasty. And they have their moments, sure, of utterly remarkable faith. Think of Abraham out there in the cold desert night looking up at the stars. But they have their lapses as well. Through it all, God works with them. And that's the theme that continues as we proceed through the generations. Isaac. This is some backstory to our story. Isaac, perhaps traumatized by his experiences with dad as a teenager, is strangely inept and passive as a father. We remember him most for being tricked by Jacob. And Jacob, good Lord Jacob, Jacob is capable and smart, but he almost blows this family apart with his selfish schemes. And after about 40 years of self-imposed exile, only after that, 40 years of working for his father-in-law, imagine that, far from home, Jacob learns a thing or two. When he finally comes back to confront Esau, to be reconciled, or to be killed, when he finally comes back, he's ready. He's more mature. He's more willing to examine his ambitions before acting on them. It's happening. Slowly, God is shaping this family. And with two wives and two concubines, Jacob has 12 sons. Things are looking up. This looks a little bit more like it. Maybe a real dynasty is getting some momentum here. 12 sons. But do the sons have the right stuff? More backstory. Are these sons really the foundation for the future? We need to know Jacob has his doubts. Consider Reuben. Reuben the oldest, who, all things being equal, would have inherited the family ranch and everything that went along with it. Reuben the oldest has an affair with dad's concubine. Not a career advancing move. Simeon and Levi. Oy vey. They're impetuous and violent, almost uncontrollable. They're good in a fight, maybe, but disastrous as leaders. But, Jacob thinks, but, there's always Joseph. Joseph, the son of Rachel, the woman Jacob really loved. Joseph, who combines Jacob's intelligence with Rachel's astonishing beauty into this incredibly appealing package. Jacob puts all his hopes and a beautiful multicolored robe on Joseph. doesn't please the brothers. We can see that. We also need to ask, is Jacob right? Is Joseph really the one for the job? Or is Jacob being as blind as poor old Isaac, his eyes clouded by wishful thinking and love? When we first meet Joseph in the story that Dan Marta read for us just now, it doesn't look very promising at all. Whatever gifts of beauty and insight and intelligence Joseph may have, Joseph is not a leader. Not yet. "Listen up, all of you," he says. "Will I tell you this great dream I had, where all of you bowed down to me, including Mom and Dad?" Think of it. Joseph has done nothing. He's accomplished nothing to earn the respect and loyalty of his elder brothers. He just claims it as if it's some kind of birthright because of a dream and a coat. Did Joseph speak out of naive innocence? He was only 17 after all. Or maybe exuberance? Or maybe he spoke out of just plain old spoiled brattiness. Doesn't matter. A leader, and get this, especially a leader in God's new way, a leader in this new community that God is trying to form, a leader there must have more wisdom. Well, the brothers get their chance to deal with Joseph one day when Jacob sends Joseph out all alone to check on them out in the pasture. And I'm cynical. I just have to wonder, did Jacob know what he was doing? Was he maybe hoping the boys would settle this leadership issue themselves, duking it out together out there in the wilderness? You never know with this family. But they see him coming miles away. They take away his robe. It's not the last time Joseph is going to lose his shirt. They throw him down a dry well, and then they consider their options over lunch. They decide on a cunning plan. They're going to sell Joseph to some Ishmaelites, some traveling salesmen who are on their way to Egypt. But while they're deciding all this, some Midianites, more travelers, find Joseph. And they pull him out of the well, and they sell him to the Ishmaelites, making all the profit. These brothers, these poor brothers, aren't even very good at being bad. They go back to where they left Joseph, find him gone, and they assume he's dead, and that they're responsible, and they live with that for the next years of their lives. And there begins the education of Joseph. In a strange tale that we remember and our story has guided us through, Joseph goes on a journey from captivity to slavery to a respected position in one of the grand households of Egypt, the home of Potiphar, to captivity again, thrown down another hole into an Egyptian prison, wrongly accused of making advances on Potiphar's wife. And from there, his insight and intelligence and skill lead him, of all places, to the court of Pharaoh. What a trip. Joseph's natural gifts are honed in his hardship, and they save his bacon time after time. That's the lower story. But all the while, in God's upper story, in the story of how God is working with this mess to accomplish his purpose, in that upper story, something much more subtle and much more important is happening. Because in all this, Joseph is being formed by his experiences and his hardships, formed by his successes, his intelligence and his insight and his charisma They're all being repackaged and reshaped. He's changing. He's being molded into the new kind of leader that God would need for his new people. And it all comes into focus in one climactic moment when Joseph's brothers show up in his office in Egypt. They're hungry and they're vulnerable and they don't recognize him. Joseph's got them right where he wants them. Could this be it? Could this be the moment, after all these years, could this be the moment that Joseph's dreams finally come true? Joseph is powerful. His brothers are weak. He could force them to bow down before him, just like in his dreams. He can impose his will on them any way he likes. It's just sitting there. But he doesn't. In the end, Joseph leaves behind his dreams of domination. And he forgives. The upper story, God's story, meets the lower story, Joseph's story. Because Joseph has learned. Joseph has learned important lessons. What's he learned? First of all, he's learned how to prosper in Egypt without completely turning into an Egyptian. He's learned that this group of brothers of his flawed, imperfect brothers, and his unpredictable father, this is his true family, not the Egyptian court where he's had so much success. In Egypt, he'll always be an outsider, eating alone. This community of brothers, mixed up as it is, Joseph realizes, this is my destiny. This is where God wants me to be, with these people. Joseph learns the purpose of power in God's new way, in God's new plan. Joseph learns that if God puts power into Joseph's hands, it's not so that Joseph can impose his will on the world and on other people. That's the world's way of doing things, not God's. If God puts power in Joseph's hands, it's not so that Joseph can fulfill his adolescent dreams of dominance. God puts power into Joseph's hands so that Joseph can serve and protect and preserve this fragile, vulnerable, new little community that God is making. Joseph learns power serves God's purposes, not Joseph's. Most importantly of all, Joseph learns that this new community of God needs a new kind of leader. God's new people needs new leaders who have the will to forgive and who are ready always for reconciliation. Because without these essential virtues, without these qualities, this new community of God, it's going to be dead before it even begins. It's going to be swallowed up, like so many dynasties before it, in selfishness and ego and revenge. That's the education of Joseph, and I wonder if you can identify with it. I look out from this pulpit, and I see lots of Josephs. People who are capable and enterprising and resilient and smart. We're here listening to this story because we want to learn along with Joseph. We want to learn what Joseph learns. We want to learn how to prosper in Egypt without turning into an Egyptian. We want to learn how to thrive in the world out there without being conformed to the world out there. We want to learn how to walk around in our own skin and prosper in the world without being subverted to the world's values, without losing our grasp of God's values. We want to learn where our true destiny lies. And it's with God's kingdom. We're learning with Joseph. We've got a higher purpose. I'm trying to learn with Joseph. I'm trying to learn that if God gives me gifts and abilities, if God puts me in a position of power, it's not just for the purpose of ensuring my own security or satisfying my own dreams. God expects me, God demands of me that I use those things to build up his people, to establish his community, to work on the kingdom. God expects the same of you. And all of us together are trying to learn with Joseph those hard lessons of confession and forgiveness and reconciliation. That lesson of not letting our bitterness over the past ruin God's beautiful hopes for the future. As we muddle through the ups and downs of our lives, we want to do what Joseph did. We want to join our lower story to God's upper story. We want to be part of that bigger story. The story continues, and it was in a fragile place for a few moments there as Joseph's brothers stood before him in Egypt. The whole thing could have come to a crashing halt in one selfish act of revenge by Joseph. But with God's help, Joseph had learned. With God's help, we learn. And with God's help, the story continues.